Ben Dobbin.
I'm exclusively a free baller.
What can we say?
I'm sorry?
He wheels and he deals. For great deals on wheels, see the team at Southside Auto Auction Springwood. For wholesale cars direct to the public. SouthsideAutoAuctions.com.au.
Heyo everybody, what is happening? Here we go, Luke Dobbo, Margo back with you for another afternoon. Our second last show of the year. How are we all feeling? Margo, you all excited? We've had 25 different Christmas parties and sort of end of year festivities. Another one last night, so we certainly can't complain about not being looked after.
I love this time of year. It's festive and everyone's in a good spirit coming towards the end of work. I mean, it's a draining and emotional time too, Luke, because, you know, you're at the end of the year and it's been a big year and you're exhausted mentally. But how exciting, you know, like we have created something pretty special here, I feel, at the rush hour.
It's even if you do say so.
Sad to see it come to an end for the year, but I'm really proud to have been a part of it, and I've been really fortunate to work with you guys, so I feel really blessed and lucky.
Good on you, Margo. How are you going, Dobbo? You enjoying the cricket being back, mate? First day of the test?
Love it. Yeah? I had a tough day today.
Why?
A tough day. Well, we had to do six-week-old needles for poor old Ella Daisy, and there's something really sad watching it being helpless there while your daughter gets needled, and you just want to... You actually don't want to do it.
It tears at your heartstrings as a parent.
It doesn't even get any easier because no matter, I mean, and this is not exclusive to me as a parent. I know all parents feel the same way. But when you see your child suffering, you somehow just want to soak up the pain for them. And you wish there was a way that you could take the pain for your kid.
100%.
Yeah,
I didn't mind Ella Daisy being in Brisbane because it meant that A, I got to meet her, and B, I got to have cuddles for the first time. She's beautiful, Dobbo. You've done a great job. She's so cute.
Dobbo, is that why she had her vaccinations?
Yes.
Hey, we got tickets to the Brisbane International. They could be yours by 4 o'clock this afternoon. Give us a call. Let us know what's going down. We've had Secret Santa here at the radio station today. It's been a big one. Let's ease on into this thing we like to call the rush hour. You're with Luke Dobbo and Margo Parker. It is the Rush Hour with Luke Dobbo and Margo Parker. What's the score in the cricket, Dobbo? Can you see the TV there?
Yeah, 6 for 148. 6 for 148. I mean, I love seeing Virat Kohli out, mate. Usman Khawaja's catch. You know, classic catches? You don't need to run them this year. It's already done. It's won, and it was in the first 20 minutes of the test match. Usman Khawaja, Virat Kohli, the best batsman in the world, took a screamer to his left.
Hey, real quick, we don't want to labour on this. What's been weirder for you this week? A, seeing Test Match cricket on Channel 7, or B, seeing Wayne Bennett dressed up in South Sydney gear?
I'd say the cricket on 7, but it's a good weird. They're doing a great job with it. Yeah.
Hey, what about this story? This teacher's pet story, Chris Dawson. I'm going to say the dude's name is. If you're not over it, then where the hell have you been? But long story short, back in the very early 80s, this guy's a school teacher. He's also a Newtown Jet footy player. And his wife goes missing the next day. Some 16-year-old that he's teaching. He's the teacher. Comes and moves in with him, and they end up getting married after she becomes legal age, and they divorced, I think, in the 90s or something like this. But the wife goes missing, and for years, the fingers were getting pointed at this guy, but no charges were ever laid. Charges get laid yesterday. He's charged with the murder of his wife from 30-odd years ago. And as a result of this, a lot of people are saying it's a result of this podcast, or the Teacher's Pet, number one podcast in the country for many, many years. And you wonder if their charges would have even been laid had it have not been for this podcast. Did you even listen to it, Margo? Have you heard any of the podcast or followed this story?
No, but it wasn't until yesterday that I learned that it's huge. And a couple of my girlfriends have loved listening to it. And they're all very excited and elated that this Chris has been caught because it's, you know, some sort of justice for her family and for Lynette, who was the lady that passed.
We'll wait and see what happens with result of the charges that have been laid. He hasn't been found guilty yet, but I'll tell you what, it's a tough one, man. When you're a teacher and you hook up with a student, that is
sick.
Like, well, is it, Margo? I mean, I'm wondering. Like, I wonder if it happens, and you know, obviously it's sick, Margo, when it happens, and the students at school. But I wonder how often it happens after the student leaves school. And does it ever happen that after school people, you know, hook up and then get married? Have you heard of it, Dobbo?
Look, When we were in year 12, I went to school in Sydney, and the majority of us were already 18 in year 12. A mate of mine who was 18 and a half, his birthday was in February, he actually hooked up with a science teacher who was 24. So he was 18, she was 24.
Yeah,
he was still
different.
At school. Well, that was his school teacher, and he hooked up with her. We were out at the Paragon nightclub at Circular Quay in Sydney, and next thing you know, there she is, our science teacher. Well, boy, oh, boy. Didn't that send tongues wagging back at school come Monday?
Did you get an A+?
No. Mate, it actually created a little bit of controversy because, I mean, it's not a great look teacher's part. But
Well, you send your kids to be educated by the student, by the
teachers. He was educated.
Yeah, he was
educated.
Not sexual education.
No. Hey, any lesson's a good lesson sometimes, Margo. I tell you,
maintain that my high school maths teacher had the hots for me.
Well, Margo, really? We all have the hots for you, mate.
Like, that's no, I
Margo just, thinks everybody has it.
Margo, don't brag. So did mine. Mr. Brooks was awesome. Hey, I reckon we open the phones up. I mean, we're not talking about the the underhand stuff that's going on like when you're at school, but after school, how many people hooked up with their teachers? Like, is anyone married to their teacher? Because if you look at the French president, remember this guy, the French president at the moment. He married his high school teacher. She was like 20 years older than him. Or still is. And he married her, but it all happened after school. So it might happen more often than what we think of. And you think about the age gap, Dobbo, in what you're talking about with your buddy. It's like 4.5 years or something like that. That's not that big of an age gap. Like, there's
6 years.
Oh, 6 years. Sorry.
One's still at school, one's educated and is earning a living. Like,
As I said, Dobbo, my maths teacher, Hey, but if you've got a story for us, hit the phones. We'd love to chat to you coming up next. And I've got some cool stuff up for grabs here, actually. We've got tickets to the Brisbane International if you've got a good story for us. Hey, Janelle from Burleigh, what's your story?
Well, it's not my story, but a girl in my year in high school back in Sydney actually married our science teacher and went on to have 5 kids.
Really? Still married?
After we left school. No, they're not still married. And she was beautiful, tall, dark, beautiful African girl, and he was like 5-foot-nothing little leprechaun science teacher.
Okay, but what was the age spread?
Oh, probably, how old was Mr. Moyne? 20 years, 25 years or something?
Oh, wow. See.
And so how long after school, Janelle, did they hook up?
I think pretty much straight away. So, left year 12 and then, year 13, it was on.
Yeah, right. So that's, there's no way he's not laying the groundwork in that, year 12 year.
He's chipping away every science class.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Never noticed, but, it still blows us away 40 years later. It's like, wow.
Hey, good on you, Janelle. Thanks so much. Let's go to Stuart from Browns Plains. What's your story, Stuart?
Yeah, hi. I turned 18 halfway through my last year of high school and hooked up with a girl one night out in the city, and then a week later, she was my student teacher for speech and drama in high school.
How funny. How funny.
Well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that because neither of you knew.
No, the good thing is Stuart's a hero and the teacher she's ducking for cover. She gets there. And her student week where she's working, a prac week, is a disaster.
That's funny.
We did keep it a secret until she finished at the school. So
did you hook back up with her?
No. But we did have a few funny conversations after class. So
Good.
I like the fact that she's a speech and drama student, a teacher rather. So that way she could bluff it off. She goes, "Okay, class, today we're going to all pretend we're going to do some acting. We're going to act like we don't know each other.
Yeah,
act like we've never met one another." Hey, good on you, Stuart. Thanks, brother.
Mark from Burleigh Waters, did you have this happen to you?
No, I didn't, but my daughter's friend in grade 12, the sports teacher, he was having an affair with her, and obviously they got divorced, him and his wife, and then down the track when she finished school, he married my daughter's friend and they got kids, so there's a fairly large age bracket difference.
How do you know how old the age gap is?
Well, he was a sports teacher, and like the kids in grade 12 are 18, 19, so he would have been 40.
So at least 10 to 20 years, maybe?
Shame.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But they're still together and they're married and they got kids.
Yeah, they're still married now.
There you go.
I mean, I'm not surprised the sports teacher's getting a bit of action. It was that first call that we got. When does the science teacher ever get any action? Hey, hang on there, Mark. We're going to send you off, mate, to the Brisbane International. You can get your tickets now at Ticker Tech if you want to head along and see some of the world's best tennis players. It's coming to town December 30 through to January 6. And thanks for your calls on that. This is the Rush Hour with Luke Dobbo and Margo Parker.
The Broncos are doing a good job as well. They're right in pre-season training. It's funny, new broom sweeps clean, doesn't it? Anthony Seibold has made some changes. If anybody follows American football in the NFL, they have a training camp. And in the training camps, it's always surprised me that they set up these massive boombox speakers and they beat out tunes while they're practicing. And it's very common. Well, I've never seen it over here today at Broncos headquarters and their preseason. They're going through it, Broncos, and they've got speakers set up all around the fields and they are pumping music out at Red
Hill.
What
sort of music?
Like beats, you know, like tunes. Like,
there's a fair few Polynesian boys there, so I'd fair say there's a bit of R&B. A
lot of R&B.
A bit of country, but
a lot of music, like just a playlist and going while they're training.
Well, they normally have the speaker in the gym.
Yeah.
In the facility there, and they're always pumping it out. But now they're putting speakers outside.
Out in the field, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Out at the other field.
How good.
Yeah. So, anyway, it was just a new thing. And I think it's obviously an Anthony Seibold thing because he's bought it there. Now, the shoe on the other foot is talking to somebody, Wayne, and he goes, mate, you wouldn't believe what happened today. And he said, I'm at training at South Sydney, and next thing you know, the bloody speakers start coming on. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, mate, and these tunes are coming on. And he said, turn that crap off right now.
So Anthony Seibold had the speakers down in South Sydney and Wayne wasn't aware. And so the music
started
come on,
going. He said, turn
and
off.
Wayne's vetoed it.
The players said to Wayne, well, we reckon when we're recovering and hurting, it makes us feel calmer and stuff like that, you know, and it helps us train better in a game.
Out of their regime.
Wayne said, well, when you're in a Southern Death semi-final and there's 40,000 people screaming at you and you're hurting, do you think that they're going to play tunes no, so we're not going to do it without tunes. So tunes have been scrapped at South Sydney and they've come to Queensland and Red Hill.
You know what? When you think there's a happy compromise, like Bennett's not going to play that techno crap down in South Sydney, but can't he play out some Slim Dusty or something?
Roy Orbison.
He's really, you know what? That's the problem when you come in like a disciplinarian after a coach that's had success being, look, Anthony had real success at South Sydney and coaching his own methods. And now Wayne Bennett, who's had success, is going in there and he's literally scrapping out. You talk about feuds and Christmas card lists. Can I just say this now? I want to put up, Wayne Bennett won't be sending Anthony Seibold a Christmas card. I'm just going to put that out there right now.
I can't imagine.
I think Anthony would send Wayne one, but I think Wayne would never send Anthony Seibold a Christmas card.
Dobbo, you've dropped some pretty big scoops this year, mate, but I don't think that's one of them. worked that out for ourselves. Hey, we've got an interesting segment for you coming up next. Do you want to quickly talk us through this one, Margo?
Yeah, just quickly. I thought I'd bring something from my children's school here to our radio station. They have a thing called Kindness Day, and wherein which they have like a sheet of paper with a whole heap of little boxes and bubbles and whatnot, and you've got to fill out things about that person that you love. And some of them are, I like how you're kind and caring, you are very smart, you work really hard, you are a good helper.
So you've got to say nice things, right?
Yeah, I thought it would be nice if we brought that in here into the studio. We wrote down some things about each other that we enjoy about each other, some kind, nice words, because, you know, we live in this day and age where everybody's, you know, so busy and rushed and not really thinking about anybody else. They're always kind of in their own state of mind. So I thought it might be a nice thing for us to write some nice things about each other, seeing as though the season's coming to an end and, you know,
Yeah, but even away from that, Margo, usually on this show, all we do is hang it on each other.
Well, we're normally bagging each other.
Yeah, exactly. So we've had to write nice things. Like, I've had to write some nice things that I like about, like, Margo, nice things I like about Dobbo, and vice versa. The guys have done the similar thing. And then we're going to say it, and then you've got to guess who said it. I think that's how it's breaking down. But anyway, we'll work it out for you. It's coming up next. What are we about to do? Something festive, Margo, is it?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to bring something. You know, we're coming to the end of the year and, you know, in radio, with our personalities and our senses of humour, we tend to sling a bit of crap on each other from time to time. And, you know, we're good mates. And so people often ask me, like, do you actually fight on air? Is that serious? Or are you friends? Or do you like each other? Or do you hate each other? What's the deal? So I thought, we do like each other and we are friends. So I thought it might be nice for once to change the tone a little bit and maybe bring some kind words about each other to the table.
I like it. Okay, so what we've done is, this is on the back of Margot's kid at school had to write nice things about everyone in their class and vice versa, and you thought it was a nice thing. So we've done the same. So we've all written nice things about each other and things that we like about each other. Producer Nick is here, and he's going to, like, pick one of us and read out some of the nice comments that we've said about each other and say, Dobbo, if you're first, you've got to guess if it was from me or if it was from Margo. And I think
we should start with Luke first.
Okay. Really? Well, let's turn this on Luke. Yeah.
Mm.
So what I love first is that you guys have given this to me, so you don't actually have to say the words yourself.
I'm happy to say it, but yeah, my thing. So go, Nick.
Okay. So Luke, you have to work out who's written this about you.
All right.
A very kind human who is very generous and resilient and sometimes a misunderstood person. All right, so that was the first one.
I know who that is. I absolutely know who said that.
Okay, we'll go to the second. So, Luke, you are ridiculously funny. You are passionate about Indigenous exploration. I won't say that's exploration. You are convicted to being the best possible version of yourself for everything that you do.
Hmm. So, you know, I would have said both of them were from Margo. I honestly would have said both of those were from Margo. But if you're telling me that they're from, I'm going to say the first one's Dobbo and the second one is Margo.
You would be 100% correct.
There you go.
Well done. All right.
I got it.
See, we're being nice to each other.
Being very nice. That's beautiful.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, let's turn this now to Margo. Margo, who wrote this about you? One of the most honest and caring people I've ever met and a fantastic friend. Okay, that's number one. The second one, you are very loyal to your family and your friends and you're very honest and forthright at all times and you're a great person to get honest feedback from. I don't know if that last part's a compliment. I think that's a backhand.
Well, I like to account myself for being honest.
Both of those said
Dobbo
that you're very honest.
I think Dobbo was the first one.
I was the first one.
Yeah, and Luke was the second one.
God, you know each other
because
well.
He used bigger words.
Can I say that I paid you a bigger compliment in my first compliment that I gave you, but producer Nick missed that one and went to my second one?
What was that?
I can't remember. Yeah. I was dragging a bit by that stage, Dobbo.
So you suggested
it got a bit. I'm going to say it got
searching,
a bit sappy.
Searching. Okay,
right,
Dobbo.
So let's go to Dobbo now. All right, Dobbo.
Yes.
You're a loyal friend who I can trust and share intimate details of my life with, and I know you'll keep it to yourself if I request. You're generous and genuine, and one of the best blokes I've ever met in my life. That's part one. Second part, Dobbo. You are generous and compassionate. Aside from being devilishly handsome, you put others' needs before yourself, and you have a way of picking on behavioural cues.
Picking up on behavioural cues.
Oh, Margo, I think when you're correcting producer Nick, it sort of spoils the segment. Notice no one in their compliments to you, Margo.
He didn't
said
read it the way I wanted him to.
Margo, do you notice that no one in their compliments to you said you have tremendous radio nous? Dobbo, can you work out which one is which?
Sorry.
I like that. We shouldn't have done this more. We actually should be telling each other how much we love each other more because we're all great friends and we have deep respect for each other. But I'd say Luke was the first and Margo was the second. Yeah.
Nice stuff.
See, wasn't that nice to get all those fluffy, fuzzy feelings out?
Now, is anyone going to read out any nice stuff about producer Nick?
Yes.
No, we've run out of time.
You got a lot to learn. But we think you're a good bloke.
Can I actually say that producer Nick has a lot to put up with in Luke, Dobbo and myself. And you've commendable job on facilitating all of our needs and requirements. So a big thank you to you, Nick.
And I do, if I could butt in, Margot, say he seriously has got the toughest job in radio.
Yes.
Because he is in charge of delivering Dobbo's Uber Eats.
Yes.
I've become so strong on my right shoulder.
Luke, while you are going to be running the Hawaiian Marathon on Sunday, Carl Stefanovic is going to be saying I do to his soon-to-be wife, Jasmine Yarbrough. They have just landed in Mexico's Los Cabos International Airport ahead of their wedding this weekend.
I think you'll find it's pronounced Mexico.
Mexico.
Margarita,
that's all I need to know how to say Mexico. So, they've just landed in Mexico. It's one and only something or other, Pamela Resort in San Jose del Cabo for their wedding this weekend.
Hey, real quick, let's go around the room. Does it last? Do they get 10 years out of it, Dobbo? Yes or no?
No.
Margo?
I reckon at least 10.
Got to, mate. After all of this speculation, of all the way that it's played out in the media, they've got to make it work. I say it lasts forever and I hope it does.
Look, she's a really nice girl. I know Jasmine through my cousin. They went to school together. Yeah. She's a Brisbane girl's grammar girl.
Really?
Carl Stefanovic seems to be, he's a hell of a guy. He's good fun. He's funny. He seems relatively down to earth considering, everything he goes through. But I think this is, it'll be really nice for them. But Mexico, that's a long way away to go for a wedding as a guest.
Not right. Yeah, I didn't even think of it. So if you're a guest...
Like, you've got to travel from Australia. Most of their guests would be flying out from Brisbane or Sydney.
It's one thing to rack off over to Hamilton Island. Like, that's a call for all of your guests. But, yeah, I didn't even think of it. Yeah, you've got to go and spring for tickets over to Mexico. Mm. It's not quite Christmas time at the moment, so you've got to take time off work. That's a big commitment to make that wedding.
Yeah, and weddings are stressful enough as it is, let alone being a guest of that type of celebrity wedding, Like destination weddings seem to be a bit of a thing where you go abroad, and I don't know if it's a tactic of the bride and the groom so that less people attend so they don't have to fork out as much money.
I like the theory behind it. There's a girl in the office here who's doing it for her wedding next year. So she's having her wedding in Bali. So what she did was she said it to every single one of our friends, said, hey, guys, listen, just letting you know, we're having our wedding on this date in Bali. Now, if you're prepared to fly over, let us know. If you're not, there's no offence taken. So then straight away they know who's...
And you generally give them enough notice. It's 12 months notice.
12 months notice.
Like
so
that.
People can plan it. And you know what? Sometimes, I think you know what's coming up front before. I'm not a big one for these overseas weddings as such, but I think if you're going to do it, give people enough time to plan.
Well, I think it's your day, and whatever you want, you choose, goes. But I think, is there an expectation of the guest to then have to come? Like, as a guest who's invited to a destination wedding, you've got to pay for flights, accommodation. Mm. Do you look at this as a burden, or do you look at this as an opportunity to go on a holiday and have a reason to do it and see your mates potentially, get married and say, I do?
Like, it's one thing if they're your best mate, Margo, but what if, you're just the partner? So, for example, you're just the partner and all of a sudden your whole life and your whole holiday for the year is being dictated to by some bloke that's getting married and you don't even really know him.
I don't even like Thailand.
Yeah, it's your wife's best friends, that's getting married and you don't even really... And next thing you know, you're heading off to somewhere you don't want to go.
Well, that's another thing, because my girlfriend, she went to a wedding in Canada, but her and her partner, he didn't go because he didn't know her very well. But it's always nice to go to those things as a couple, But she had to go on her own because they couldn't afford for both of them to go. So she ended up just having to go.
I'll give you a situation. Two people happily in love, get engaged, organise the wedding. Everybody's paid for to go to Fiji. 2 weeks before the wedding, things hit the skids.
Oh. No.
Wedding
no.
over.
No.
Does everybody go over, even the potential bride and groom?
No.
Or what do they do? I have a case in my life where the bride and the groom
and everybody's families still went, and they didn't have a wedding, they had a party. There was a little bit of ducking and weaving between the bride and groom, but they all went and... went to Fiji because it was all paid for. It was all paid for.
Yeah.
I wonder if either one of them hooked up while they were over there.
Well, it's only 2017. I want to hear your stories. Have you had a destination wedding? Did you have to attend one? Did you think it was a good thing? What are the positives and negatives? Pros and cons. Hit me with them. Destination weddings. Do you like them or do you loathe them? Carl Stefanovic and his soon-to-be wife, Jasmine Yarbrough, have landed in Mexico for their very fancy, fancy wedding at the one and only there. And we're talking about destination weddings, whether it's something that you love or loathe. Is it one of those things where you...
Can I just ask you, Margot, given that I think this Jasmine Yarbrough, her parents are fully loaded, like they're a wealthy family, what I read in the paper the other day. Does Carl's a wealthy man by his own right? And it's his second time around. Does the bride of the parents spring for the wedding dobbo, or does
He's
go...
paying it. He's copping it.
It's just all Carl, is it? What do you think about that, Margot? Do you think that's fair enough? Or?
Oh, I think the parents would contribute something. Something. Possibly maybe the bar tab or her wedding dress. Or I think they would contribute on some level, yes. But I think he will be copping the end bill.
But it's a very big call for all of the guests that are going because it's such a far away destination.
It's so far to travel. And I'm sure, you know, they'll be relatively well off, most of the guests. But, you know, there's family who may not be in a very lovely financial position such as themselves where they have to fork out flights, accommodation. You know, they've got to find something to wear, maybe get a gift, something like that. And it ends up being quite expensive. Jenny from Mermaid Waters, do you love or loathe destination weddings?
Well, I've been to two. One was a great one and the other one didn't happen. A month before, the wedding was called off, but we'd all paid for and we couldn't get refunds, so we all decided to still go, even the bride and groom. They even had the bridal suite, which cost a fortune, and neither one of them was prepared to give it up, so... even though they weren't talking, they still shared it.
Did you put your hand up, Jenny, and said, I'll take it for you?
Should have done. But we had a marvellous time. It was one of the best holidays, and the bride's family stayed together, and the groom's family, they just went on their part of the island, and there was no talkies, but we all had fun.
Jenny, I have a question. Funny. When you go on a destination wedding, do you have to buy a gift still for the happy couple?
No, well, they said no gifts.
No gifts.
Of course, we're all
presents. Rightly so.
What do they say? Your presence is our present.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And it's a second marriage as well. So
and that's the thing. I mean, I don't want anything. When I get married again, if I get married, I don't want any gifts.
you say that now, Dobbe.
Until he gets done. Thanks, Jenny from Mermaid Waters.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
We head over to Mermaid Beach. Tracy joins us. What do you think of destination weddings? Is it a great opportunity for a holiday or is it just a waste of money that you don't want to spend?
No, Margot, it's sensational.
Where'd you
absolutely
go?
Absolutely love it. My sister got married in Thailand and I've had three friends get married in Bali.
Yep.
And we've all had the best time. You meet up. You go out with everybody else if you want to. If you want to go off and do your own thing, you do that too. It's great.
I'm not yet to be invited to a destination wedding, so if any of my friends out there are looking to get married, make sure it's overseas because I wouldn't mind going on a holiday to Thailand.
Well, get them to get.
It's great.
Hey, good on you. Thanks so much for your call. Hey, I'm surprised you didn't get invited to this one in Mexico, Margot. You know, you're a social butterfly. I can't believe you're not in with the in crowd with the Stefanovics. What's going on there?
I'm not in with the Steph. I'm in with the Bradnam Dobbins.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going very far with that.
You're just bringing me down.
If you think Dobbo's a half-decent auctioneer,
set him down.
You'll love the dealer wholesale cars that go under the hammer at Southside Auto Auctions, Springwood. Southsideautoauctions.com.au.